Please open them to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Can I share with you some encouragement this morning as you're turning in your Bible? It's rather generic. You've heard it before. You might consider it to be a platitude, but it has got some deep truth in it. Are you ready for it? My friends, God has a plan and a purpose for you. I don't know what those details are. I don't know what the details of God's plan for you is. You don't know them either. But I know that God has a plan and a purpose for you. And you say, well, how do you know that, Brian? Because if you are a student of the Bible, if you read the Bible and see the stories in the Bible, then you've seen multiple ways, multiple times that God has shown over and over and over again that he had a plan for people in the Bible. Last week, we were introduced to the woman at the well. We saw the first half of that story of the woman at the well, and we discovered that Jesus walks with us in our broken mess. He walked into her broken mess. Remember, the Bible said he had to go to Samaria. Jesus doesn't run away from us in our broken mess. He walks into our broken mess. Secondly, last week we saw that Jesus confronts us in our broken mess. He confronted the woman at the well in her sin. He confronted her so that he could thirdly heal her from her broken mess, and that he surely did. The woman then left the well as a saved woman. She went to the well as an unsaved Samaritan woman, but she left the well as a child of God with great purpose, on great mission. She started the conversation with Jesus. Last week we saw this. She started the conversation thinking that he was just a man or just a prophet, but her conversation ended with the realization that he was more than just a man. He was more than just a prophet. He was the Messiah. And because of that, he must be first. Jesus must be first. We've kind of been on this theme for several weeks. John the Baptist started this when he said this, he must increase and I must what? Decrease. Listen, Jesus must be first in your life. And because Jesus is first in your life, He shows you what his plan is and what his purpose is for your life. And because he does that, because he involves us in his work, we have the privilege of joining with God and accomplishing his mission here on earth. Today, we're going to see three ways that Jesus involves us in his work. With your Bibles open and in hand, let me invite you to stand. We're going to begin reading in John chapter 4. It's the second half of the story of the woman at the well. We're going to pick up where we left off last week, verse 27, and we're going to read down to verse 42. Here's what God's word says. You remember that Jesus had just told the woman at the well that he was the Messiah, and look what happens next, verse 27. Just then, his disciples arrived, and they were amazed that he was talking with a woman, and yet no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar, went into town, and told the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They left the town and made their way to him. In the meantime, his disciples kept urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said, "I have food to eat that you don't know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Verse 34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work," Jesus told him. "Don't you say there are still 4 more months and then comes the harvest? Listen to what I'm telling you. Open your eyes and look at the fields because they are ready for harvest. The reaper is already receiving pay and gathering fruit for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper can rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap what you didn't labor for. Others have labored, and you have benefited from their labor." Verse 39. Now many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of what the woman said when she testified, "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of what he said, and they told the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you said, since we have heard for ourselves and know that this really is the Savior of the world." Would you pray with me? Father, we're grateful again for the day grateful for the chance to open your word and pray that you would do your work as we do that. Help me to be faithful to the text. Help me to be faithful to your word. And Father, I pray that as we do that, as I preach the word, that you would move in a mighty way in the hearts of the men, women, teenagers, and children in the room. And I pray that you'd be glorified by all the things that we do and say here in these next few moments. We pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Because Jesus is first, we should first and foremost be his witnesses. You'll remember that Jesus had that divine appointment with the woman at the well. I love what she does here in this part of the story. Jesus had this divine appointment. We talked about that earlier. John 4:4 says that Jesus had to go to Samaria. You remember the King James says that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Look in your Bibles. Look at verse 7. John chapter 4, verse 7. Because there's a woman there who had a heavenly appointment with God, but she's not there for that appointment with God. She's there for a different reason. Look at John chapter 4, verse 7, and somebody tell me, why did the woman go to the well that morning? Verse 7, to draw water. She went there to draw water. That was the whole purpose of her trip. She went there to get physical water, but my friend, she left there with living water. Now tell me, if you go to a well, how many of you have ever drawn water out of a well? If you go to a well, what's something you need with you? A bucket, a cup, a bottle. Like, you need something to put the water in, right? What did the woman bring with her? A jar. A water jar. And notice what she does. Remember the disciples we saw last week? They were in town buying food. And they get back to town. Look in your Bible, verse 27. It says, just then the disciples arrived. So they were searching for food. They found food, came back. They arrived and they were amazed that he, being Jesus, was talking with a woman. And yet no one said, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? And look at verse 28. Then the woman did what? Left her jar. Then the woman left her jar and went into town. Her entire purpose to go to the well was to draw water. That's the reason she was there. She went with her water jar in hand to get water. That was her purpose in that trip. But then she met Jesus. And once she met Jesus, Jesus completely changed her purpose. So much so that she left her jar there at the well. Her purpose had been changed so greatly that she forgot about her jar. There was a sense of excitement in her life. She was so excited to be involved in the Lord's work. She was so excited to be one who could take the good news to her village. She didn't care about the water anymore, so she left her jar and she went into town. She left something that was of value and she went into town in service to the king. There's a pattern in the Bible there of people who leave valuable things in service to the king. Do you remember the story of Peter and Andrew? Sean Bohm, where you at? They were fishermen. Peter and Andrew were fishers for a living. They loved to fish. That's what they did. And one day they were at work. They were fishing. And Jesus finds them. And Jesus says two words to them. Anyone know what they were? What are those two words that Jesus said to them? Follow me. And look, Matthew chapter 4, verse 20 says, they immediately left their nets and followed him. They left their nets. Why? Well, because Jesus had given them a new and a better purpose. They were going to fish for men. How about James and his brother John? They were also fishermen. And they were in the boat with their daddy. They were getting their fishing nets ready. And the Bible says that Jesus called them. And when he called them, the Bible says this, that he immediately, like that, they left their boat and their dad and they followed him. Why? Well, because Jesus had given them a new and better purpose. They were going to be fishers of men. Do you see the pattern yet? Listen, when you meet Jesus and you have an experience with Jesus, like the woman at the well had, when you meet him and you realize that he has changed your entire purpose, your entire life, you cannot wait to get to work and serve him. The woman at the well that day, she went on a mundane task. I wonder how many times she's been to the well before. Hundreds, thousands, I don't know. But it was a relatively mundane task, like putting gas in your car. You don't think too much about it. She went on a mundane task, but But when she came from the well, she came as a mighty missionary. You know, you might have the most mundane, boring job in the world. That might be you. You might have the most mundane, boring, simple job in the world. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus can bring purpose to your mundane, simple job. And you say, well, how can he do that? Because when you put Jesus, here's how. When you put Jesus first in your life, he radically changes how you look at where you live, work, and play. When you put Jesus first in your life, you become a missionary for Christ where you are. You begin to see where you live, where you work, and where you play, not as just pieces of your life, but as a mission field for the Lord. I used to drive a truck for many years. I drove truck and delivered furniture. That was a mundane job, if there was ever a mundane job. It was fairly simple. You put the furniture on the back of the truck and you drive to a house and you take the furniture off the back of the truck and put it in the house and you get back in the truck and drive home. Pretty mundane. Pretty simple. But because Jesus was first in my life, that was my mission field. I met a friend while driving a truck. His name was Jared. Jared was a few years younger than me, and him and I got along really well. I would faithfully share the gospel with Jared, and I would just be a normal dude around Jared. And I remember one time he said, you know, you're really pretty funny for a Christian. I didn't know how to take that, and so I said, thank you. And what he meant was, he would go on to explain that I didn't cuss or tell dirty jokes. I was just a normal guy. I was just normal around him. But I shared my faith with him, and I showed my faith to him. A few months ago, maybe 5 months ago, Jared and I met again. This time we met out at Rennick, at the Rennick Church building. Jared's been struggling with cancer for a few years, and the prognosis was really bleak. When we met at the Rennick Church building, I shared the gospel with him one more time and listened to what he said. He said, yeah, man, I'm a believer. I've placed my faith and trust in Christ, but it just doesn't feel right. He said, it doesn't feel right. I mean, it doesn't feel like I should be able to live the way I have lived and then get to heaven because I believe at the end of my life. And I'm like, that's the gospel. Like, I can't explain that any better. That is the gospel. Amen. That's it. I shouldn't get to go to heaven either. You shouldn't get to go to heaven either. But the gospel is so good. Jesus is so good that we get to go to heaven. A couple of weeks ago, I sent Jared a message. I asked him how he was. And he said, well, man, it's not looking good. I think this might be the end. And so I asked him one more time, brother, are you ready? Do you know the Lord? Are you ready for heaven? And he replied, you know I am, big brother. Jared passed away last week. He is now with the Lord. And the Lord reminded me when he passed away that when you put Jesus first, he brings eternal purpose to even the most mundane of jobs. He brought eternal purpose to my mundane job of putting a piece of furniture on a truck and driving around town. The woman at the well had a mundane task of filling up her jug with water. She left the well not with a mundane task, but with a mighty mission. She had new purpose, a better purpose. And look at what she did. She was a witness for Christ. Look in your Bibles. Verse 28. 29, it says, then the woman left her jar, went into town, and told the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They left the town and made their way to him. What a purpose. What a beautiful picture of evangelism. She didn't go into the town and deliver a 3-point sermon. She was just a witness. She was just telling them what she knew, telling them that there was this Messiah out at the well who had told her everything that she had ever done. She was his witness. Because Jesus is first, we should first be his witnesses. Secondly, we should do his work. One of my other mundane jobs, when I was a kid, I worked on a farm. Do we have any farmers? I worked on a farm from my sixth grade year all the way through the year after I graduated high school. I did the hard work of square bales, hay bales. And I loved the days when I got to do alfalfa because that was a lot lighter than hay. It was a hot job. I'd work 10 hours a day, 6 days a week from sixth grade until the year after I graduated high school. I wish I could tell you that I saved all that money that I made, but there was a lot of Laffy Taffys I had to buy as a kid. It was really hard work. Farm work is hard. It was difficult. There were days that started early and days that ended late. There were days that were hot and sweaty and nasty. There were days where we didn't get to stop for lunch or a snack or anything because the rain was coming and we had to get the hay off the field. There were days that I went home exhausted, fall into bed. It was hard work. But looking back on that season of hard work, what I see now is that was good training grounds for being a pastor, Bob. That was good training grounds because being a pastor, listen, not just being a pastor, being a believer, being a Christian, working for the Lord, gospel ministry, that is hard, hard work. Being a believer in Christ is not for the lazy. You say, why? Well, because once you place your faith in Christ, your feet better be moving. Once you place your faith in Christ, you get to moving your feet for the Lord. He enables you and embodies you for action. Your faith in Christ will always produce action for Christ. You were made with purpose. Amen. Like, what is that purpose? Well, your purpose is to take the gospel to the world. Your purpose is to take the church, the good news of Jesus, take the gospel to the nations, to take the gospel to the places where you live, work, and play, and it's hard work. It's not for the weak. It's not for the lazy. Gospel ministry is hard work. Jesus actually refers to gospel ministry to farming. He compares it to farming. Look at what he says in verse 35. He says, "Don't you say there are still 4 more months? And then comes the harvest." Listen to what I'm telling you. Open your eyes and look at the fields because they are ready for harvest. The reaper is already receiving pay and gathering fruit for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper can rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap what you didn't labor for. Others have labored and you have benefited from their labor. Can't you see that when you do the work of Christ, when you do gospel ministry, you are either sowing or you are reaping? And that is really hard work. And according to verse 36, both the sower and the reaper rejoice together. Your job, church family, our job, you and me, us together, our job is to get to work, to get out of the pew and put our hand to the plow and get to work. So how do I do that? Well, we've got some great options for you in Vacation Bible School coming up. We've got some other ministries where we need some help in. So I don't know if I can do that. I don't have the ability. I heard Adrian Rogers. He's my favorite. I love Adrian Rogers. I heard him say this. He said, there are two abilities you need to do gospel work. Two abilities. He said, you don't need linguistic ability. You don't need intellectual ability. You don't need financial ability. You don't even need physical ability. You want to know what those two abilities that you need to do gospel work? Availability and dependability. Yes. You make yourself available for the work of the gospel. Just be willing to show up. And you make yourself dependable in the work of the gospel. You keep showing up. You do the hard work. You prepare. And when you do his work, finally, you have to let him work. That's our third and final point. Because Jesus is first, we should be his witnesses and we should do his work. But we also got to let him work. Listen to me, believer in Christ. Here's what you need to know. It is not your job. It is not your responsibility to save the soul of any single person. It's not your role. It's not your job. The Lord has not given you the job of being the Savior. He's given you the job of being the sower or the reaper. The Lord the job the Lord gives to us is to be His witness and to do His work and then to get out of His way and let Him finish the job. One of my greatest joys in life is watching God do His work. I love talking to unbelievers, especially when they're searching a bit, when they're trying to figure out, is God really real? Is He really there? Is Jesus really the way? And usually I'll counsel them to take two simple steps. You want to hear them? Here they are. Number one, I counsel them to ask Jesus to show them who He is. So I say, just pray and ask the Lord to show you who He is. And then I tell them to watch as Jesus answers their prayer and shows them who He is. And I have absolute rock-solid faith in our Lord that He will answer that prayer, that He will do exactly that. The woman at the well, she had done her job. She left her water jar. She went into town. In this case, she was the sower. She sowed the seed. And the disciples, according to verse 38, are the reapers. She went into town. She sowed the seed of the gospel. And Jesus told His disciples to do the hard work. And look at what happens next. Look in your Bible, verse 39. Now many Samaritans from that town believed in Him because of what the woman said when she testified, "He told me everything I ever did." Do you see that? Her job was over. Her job was complete. She was called to be a witness for Christ, and that's all she did. According to verse 29, she went into town and she said, "Y'all got to come see this Jesus. Y'all got to come see this man. He's the Messiah. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" She did not go into town and share the Roman road. She did not go into town and share John 3:16. She did not go into town and offer a systematic theology class or a New Testament survey class. She didn't know any of that. All she did was go into town and tell the people who were there what she knew about the man who was at the well. And when they came to Him, Jesus finished the job. Look in your Bible. You got to see it. Verse 40. The Bible says, "So when the Samaritans came to Him, they asked Him to stay with them, and He stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of what He said. And they told the woman," look at this, verse 42. "They told the woman, 'We no longer believe because of what You said, since we have heard for ourselves and know that this really is the Savior of the world.'" The woman at the well is a fantastic example of an evangelist. She shows us the privilege of doing God's work. She left her water jar because Jesus had given her a new purpose. So let me ask you, my friends, as we bring this message to a close, what is your purpose in life? That ought to be the question we ask people. But typically, we ask people, "What do you do for a living?" And that's not a bad question. But the follow-up question, the better question is, what is your purpose? Can we end where we started? I know that it sounds like a platitude and it sounds generic and you've heard it a million times before. But God has a plan and a purpose for you. He hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't forsaken you. He hasn't left you. He's got a plan for you and a purpose for you. The woman at the well, she went there to get water, but she left there on mission. She went to get physical water, but she left having received living water. If you don't know who Jesus is, if you don't know Him as Savior and Lord, that I want to invite you to do what the woman at the well did. I want to invite you to receive that living water. She believed in Jesus. When we get to heaven, we will meet the woman at the well. When we get there, she's already going to be there ahead of us. You may have walked in here for any number of reasons today, but I believe if you're here and you don't know Jesus, you're here under a divine appointment, that you would hear that God has a plan and a purpose for you. You've got your own water jug. You've got your what you think is your purpose, but I want you to receive living water. I want you to be a believer in Christ. I want you to have an experience with Christ that is life-changing. You say, well, how do I do that? It's so simple. Admit to God you've sinned. Believe that Jesus is a sinless Son of God who died a sinner's death on the cross and rose from the grave 3 days later, defeating death and sin and hell for us. And confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Admit to God you've sinned. Believe in the gospel. And confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And if you do that, by the authority of God's word, you will be saved. And if you place your faith and trust in Christ, you can leave your water jug right where it is. Because he's going to realign you with great purpose. He's going to realign your entire life. You're going to begin to see all of your life in a different way. Where you live, work, and play, it'll look different. It won't just be a job anymore. It'll be a mission field. It won't just be a class anymore. It'll be a mission field. If you're saved, if you know the Lord, then I want you to do what the woman at the well did. I want you to leave your jug at the well and find your heavenly purpose and get to work. Get out of the pew. Put your hand to the plow. And let's move forward. Being his witness, doing his work, and letting him work. Would you pray with me? Father, again, we are grateful for the day and pray, Lord, that you would do a mighty work here among us. Pray you'd be glorified. Pray, God, if there's someone here who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they would come to know you just as the woman at the well did. Pray, Father, if there's someone in the room who doesn't yet know what their purpose is, I pray you would help them to lean into what we've talked about today, to be your witness, to do your work, and to watch you work, to let you do your work. Lord, I pray you would help us. I pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people.